If you are a person who's comfortable closing your eyes, there's wonderful imagery in this reading, and you might choose to take a good seat, put your feet down, close your eyes if that feels comfortable. All that we have been separately and all that we will become together is stretched out before us and behind us like stars scattered across a canvas of sky. We stand on the precipice, arms locked together like tandem skydivers, working up the courage to jump. Tell me, friends, what have we got to lose? Our fear of failure, our mistrust of our own talents, the lie that we are alone. What wonders await us in the space between the first leap and the moment that our feet, our wheels, however we move our bodies across this precious earth, touch down softly on unknown soil? What have we got to lose that we can't replace with some previously unimaginable joy? Blessed are you, Spirit of Life, who has sustained us, enlivened us, and enabled us to reach this moment. Give us courage in our leaping and gratitude in our landing, and share with us the joy of new beginnings. This year's stewardship theme is faith in our future, which is a rich frame for our annual exercise in financial generosity to this beloved church. Of course, the church has a splendid present, and at a recent UU 101, where several of us were talking about Unitarian Universalism with those who are interested in getting involved here and have now become members here, one of the people who attended many, visited several of the local churches before deciding that this was her home, said, "This is the friendliest one I visited. The friendliest. Wow." And so caring, pastoral care team supports that. You are spiritually deep. Your worship team and your covenant groups facilitate that. Religious education for children and adults, and a beautiful facility. Interfaith and social justice work, and those terrific Friday night socials. Poetry slam, upcoming gay men's chorus performance, Christmas Eve, in gatherings, flower communion. I am so grateful for all that this church offers. And I believe that you are too. There is so much going on here and also into the future. Did I say choir? Gosh, how could I have left that off the list? We have faith that this church has a future. Yes, it does. Calling your new minister is well underway, and all of the mostly invisible wheels to make that happen are rolling along smoothly. We are confident that faith will be a part of our future, that spirit is strong here, that spirituality grows in this place, that the sermons aren't lectures, that the small groups aren't just discussion groups, but also a chance for deep and holy sharing. This isn't a social club, but a house of faith, faith that will carry you into the next 20 years. Let us also think of the faith in the future that Honi had. He was not afraid of doing something that he would literally never taste the fruits of. He worked hard with no benefit in sight, with a hope that sun, rain, and weeding would happen, and the tree that he planted would grow, prosper, and ultimately bear glorious fruit. The image on the cover of the Order of Service is of small carob trees. Unlike this community, which bears fruit every day, Honi knew that the trees would not bear until he was gone, and possibly even his children were gone. He had the faith in their feeding his grandchildren. Such faith. The first sermon that I recall hearing for Pledge Sunday was by Denny Davidoff. Denny had held a lot of important volunteer positions within our denominations. Many UU many leaders say that she was the most important lay leader that we have had over the last half century. She served as moderator, which is a kind of a guiding, it's sort of like what it sounds like, it keeping the peace, making the trains run at General Assembly. She did that for 8 General Assemblies. She held long leadership positions in a long list of UU groups, our seminaries. She preached at more than 100 congregations, and she mentored generations of ministers and lay leaders who are shaping our faith today. In fact, I consider myself sort of a descendant of hers because my mentor was in her home church when she was a layperson. She supported her church and her denomination both financially and through almost full-time service for upward of 20 years. She had been invited to the church that I was attending at the time to talk about why she pledged to her church and, by implication, why we should pledge to ours. Denny spoke of money as the third rail of Unitarian Universalism and, indeed, UU congregations. She pointed out correctly that our people are perfectly happy to talk about sex through our denominations, our whole lives, sexuality, relationship program, but they were unwilling to talk about money. She said that people who are willing to discuss their human frailties, emerging understanding of social justice issues and how they had previously been wrong about them, were unwilling to talk about money. What a shame. We don't need to talk about money as people. We need to talk about money as people and in a congregation. Money does not make the world go around, but for sure the energy many of us put into our thoughts and worries about money, often thoughts and worries that we hold alone, are challenging. They make us anxious. If as individuals in congregations we had an easier time talking about money, maybe our individual stresses and our congregation financial stresses could be reduced. Money is sacred, and we know magical things happen when we all put our money together. This place is an example of that magic. Denny had several kids, and the story she told at the center of her sermon that day was her son. And I don't remember his name. This is almost 25 years ago, but we're going to say his name was John. John had gotten into the university of his dreams for an advanced degree program. He and his wife had moved to the town where the university was located, and they were both working as teaching assistants to support themselves. They quickly joined their local UU congregation. Along came pledge time. John filled in the pledge card. He submitted it, and for him, that was the end of the story. He would just, they would pay what was on the pledge card. Then he got a call from the head of the pledge campaign. The chair of the campaign told him that he had made a mistake in filling out his pledge form, and didn't he want to fix that? John thought, maybe my wife needs to sign it too. Is there some kind of technicality? What's the deal? The chair came by and told John that the mistake was that the pledge was too large. The pledge that John Davidoff had given made him one of the top pledgers in the congregation. This was a congregation of professors and government officials and university staff. Surely the decimal was incorrectly placed in the number that John had written, and the chair of the stewardship campaign wanted to let him know that. The chair even let him know that others were going to be embarrassed if they were ever to see what these two teachers' assistants, young people, gave. And in that congregation, I don't know what the practices are. Here it is a completely confidential process, but different churches have different processes. The couple said that they were committed to tithing as a spiritual practice. They chose to give 10% of their income to their church. They wanted to give just this much. We aren't asking for 10% of your income, but that was what those wonderful young people wanted to give. So back to the story. The stewardship chair, in a move which absolutely proved that he did not understand his job very well, even said, "But there are so many other worthy causes to give to.
why give here? Why give it all here? You know, spread it around. Don't make us look so bad.
So, why give here? And Denny gave the answer. As you can imagine, John and his wife stood firm. They were Denny's kids. What they knew was that there are an almost endless number of causes that deserve our support. You could name yours, I could name mine. And we, the people in this room, and those who are often here but not today, are the only ones who give to us. All the other causes I love and support, and I do give to other causes, have everyone in America, indeed everyone in the world, as their potential donor base. I wish them well. I give to them. But for us, this is it. Look around. These are the poor people who support this church and who have brought it to the greatness of the day and who will move it into its future greatness. In fact, in this congregation, there is a bylaw that states a requirement of members to either give a pledge or request a waiver. Please don't, please don't make the pledge people have to chase you and find you. Make yourself available to them to tell them what your pledge is. Around you, these are the people who give into the present and the future, giving into the greatness that we cannot even imagine yet. Look around, wave, because there is no Unitarian Universalist godfather or godmother who supports our congregations. Just us, my friends. That is why John gave so generously to his new congregation all those years ago. That is why Denny taught him and me. That is why I give generously to my two congregations, here and my home congregation. That is why I urge you to give most of your charitable monies to this beloved place. Possibly not tithe. We aren't asking for a tithe. But we are asking for generosity, because if not you, then who? If not now, then when? Rabbi David Wolf writes, "A boy and his father were walking along a road when they came across a large stone. 'Do you think if I use all my strength, I can move this rock?' the child asked. The father said, 'If you use all of your strength, I am sure that you can do it.' The boy began to push the rock, exerting himself as much as he could. He pushed and he pushed, and the rock did not move. Discouraged, he said to his father, 'You were wrong. I can't do it.' His father put his arm around the boy on his shoulder and said, 'No, son, you did not use all of your strength. You did not ask me to help.'" You here, members, attenders, friends, please, all of you, step forward to move the rock, to help meet the financial obligations of this church, to grow this church into its future. Who are you, jointly and as a congregation? Have you looked at the congregational vision statement recently? This is how it reads. "We envision UUCS as a faith community known throughout Loudoun County, Virginia, and beyond as an inclusive and enduring refuge for diversity in all of its forms. A flagship congregation, being the change we wish to see in the world, nurturing all souls for courageous and transformative ministry. An evolving community, breaking barriers to serve an increasing population within and beyond our worlds. And your mission, to seek love and serve boldly, just emphasizes the vision statement. In my mind's eye, I see the strength and boldness of this vision statement. What you are creating is precious. You want to be visible throughout all of Loudoun County, to serve as a flagship, nurturing all souls. You want to serve an increasingly large church. These are big dreams for your future, dreams that are completely possible. You have shown with your persistence in all that you do that these visions are ones you can fulfill. In fact, it is time to give, to create what we can't even imagine yet. But the mission of this church does depend on money. Yes, it depends on that. Money is a tool with the impact, which will impact the ability of this church to live into its mission. In the words of one of my colleagues, Reverend Julia Hamilton, written at this time of year in her church, if the only gifts that were given to this Unitarian Universalist church were those that fit comfortably onto the margins of our lives, I would be worried. Because it would mean that this place, this project, this grand experiment that we enter into every week together is only marginal in your lives. The vision that we have adopted together, living with integrity, nurturing wonder, inspiring action, these things are not fringe benefits that come along with a mug and a tote bag. They are aspirations that will demand our best selves, our sustained attention, and our deepest faith. Quite simply, all it takes to move forward is to achieve these visions is for each of you to recall Honi, who planted a tree that wouldn't give fruit for 70 years. He thought of his grandchildren, he thought of those he didn't even know who would eat that delicious carob. No one's asking you to have a 70-year trajectory for the rewards of your generosity, but truly you are giving now, giving this year for the future of this congregation because of your faith in its future. Your generosity this year both makes possible the continuation of what you do so well and a move into the future, which includes making all of this possible for others who we don't know yet. The possibility of this place is amazing. Please show your faith in the future by pledging generously.